present there, Representative Gruenberg, Representative Taylor, Representative Barr, and myself, Representative Sund. And the item on the agenda today is House Bill 2, an act providing for the adoption of Uniform Simultaneous Death Act. And I believe the prime sponsor, Representative Gruenberg, you would like to lead off, sir?
Maybe before he begins, Mr.
Taylor.
Chairman, I've reconsidered my co-sponsorship of this bill, and I'm seriously thinking what we should do at this point is table this matter until a later date.
Wise decision, since you guys have all been on the bill every time.
So I just draw that.
We're all co-sponsors of this. Mr. Chairman, this is the bill that the House Judiciary Committee passed last time, and it passed the House unanimously. It brings Alaska as the 49th state to adopt the Uniform Simultaneous Death Act, and I would at this time move and ask unanimous consent that the legislative history from the previous version, which was House Bill 408 from the 14th state legislature, be incorporated in the official record by reference.
Any objection? Hearing none, we'll do so.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What this basically does, Alaska has achieved the dubious distinction of being the only state ever to repeal the Uniform Simultaneous Death Act, and it did when we passed the Uniform Probate Code, as you will recall. The reason was because there are a couple of simultaneous death provisions in that act, but that only applies to probate transfers. And this act also applies to non-probate transfers, joint tenancy and tenancy by the entirety, community property, and insurance policies. And it's a good act, and I'd like to see it enacted, and I think we can get it up on the floor quickly.
Max, maybe you could explain an example here for how this comes into play. It's my understanding this is a joint death, simultaneous death when there are no wills.
If there's a will or an instrument of any type, it takes precedence over this. And it comes into play if it cannot be proven that the people died other than simultaneously. And, for example, if you look on page 1, which is in the present probate code, you could even have a disappearance of a husband and wife, we'll say on a plane trip, something like that, and 5 years go by, and you can't prove that they died other than simultaneously, then their deaths would be presumed to be simultaneous, and the insurance policies and tenancy by the entirety and everything else would take place as though each had survived the other. And each, if there are wills, they'd both be given effect. If there are provisions in their insurance policies for other beneficiaries, then each of those designations would take effect. It's pretty simple.
Any other questions, Representative Taylor?
Yeah, we have had over the last 2 years in this committee any, if you might call it addition. In 2 years, I don't remember a single bill. Mr. Chairman, maybe you can reflect my recollection. I don't remember a single bill passing out of this committee without at least one change.
Well, that's
and my problem here is I've not found anything to change in this bill.
We already changed it last year when we did it, and I'd like to see it more. I don't want to jump around with the uniform.
Representative Barnes and Representative Ulmer have arrived. And Representative Cotton is with us. I thought it would be a unique starting point, Representative Taylor, if this committee would pass out as its first bill out of committee a bill that this committee didn't amend, is to give a signal to the rest of the legislature that perhaps having a bill referred to the Judiciary Committee is not death after all.
It's a good tradition to get away from.
Move on, but
and I know for the record that non-attorney, I'll remember the attorneys on this committee this year, so it might.
I'd also point out that everybody on the committee sponsored the bill except me, so.
You just said you didn't know nothing about
it. See, friends in the committee.
Representative Ulmer also has a law degree, too, in practice.
You noticed to put them all on one side, please. It's catching.
I didn't know that. Four officers of the court, too.
Okay.
I wasn't a father.
Is any other questions on this legislation?
I do have a facetious, Mr. Chairman. Representative Barnes had some concerns. I'm trying to go through them a little bit. Basically, page 2, joint tenants is defined. Tenants by the entirety is not. And I just assume that that's because tenants by the entirety has a but given legal meaning in the state of Alaska, it would probably have to need further definition.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yeah, attendance by the entirety, of course, is a common law term, and it is also defined in Title 34. At least it's mentioned in Title 34. Yeah.
So the need for further definition.
A tenancy by the entirety is real property that's held by husband and wife. And if you take it as husband and wife, even if it doesn't say tenants by the entirety, but it indicates, or at least it's known that they're husband and wife, the presumption is it's tenants by the entirety. And the record should be clear on that.
Any other questions?
Do you want a motion?
Well, that's up to the vice chairman here.
I'd be happy to move this bill out of committee with a recommendation if you pass, if you're ready for that.
Anybody doesn't have any other questions? The motion is to move the bill with individual recommendations. No objections. The bill will move.
I guess I have one question. When you say this is a uniform act, that means that this is exactly the same language that every other state uses?
Yes, with the exception of one section, of which we amended in Judiciary Committee last year. The Uniform Act was enacted a number of years ago, like in the 1940s, and the most recent states, 20 or 30 most recent states that have adopted it, have in one section clarified the language, and so we picked the better language, the more modern language, in the one section. And I can hold to that if you want.
Mm-hmm. We're the 49th state.
I read that in the sponsor's memo.
I don't know. Who is the 50th? Louisiana. Well, yeah, they aren't in line with anybody. So.
But you've got to realize Louisiana still leads the nation in both hookworm and illiteracy, too.
The motion is to move the bill.
Did you bring
there's no objections
ready for today? Or?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
We may have just set some kind of record. Nine and a half minutes after convening.
Well, we're trying to establish a little different format than the last couple of years. I'm sure that we will not rise to being on the legislative skit this year. Representative Barnes wasn't able to participate. This committee led the legislative skit for the last 2 years.
We were the show. Whether it's good or bad.
It was funny.
Do you have a schedule plan for next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Or?
Yeah.
How locked in is that? Pretty locked in.
Pretty locked in, yeah. We have a bill up tomorrow, and I forget what's the
24 forfeiture bail.
Forfeiture bail, and then Thursday and Friday are set aside for the tax confidentiality bill, of which the bill that's introduced for the committee's information is the same bill that was introduced at the beginning of last year, and this committee, Judiciary Committee, last year made some amendments to it, and after staff went over today, they were reviewing it with the law and revenue. It's my suggestion that we bring out a House CS that will be the bill. The CS will be the bill that the Judiciary Committee passed out last year.
There's one exception to that. We increased the administrative penalties, and the administration's asking to put it back where it used to be.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty reasonable, actually.
So what we'll have in front of us Thursday for discussion purposes will be a proposed CS, so that we don't have to have a lot of testimony on all the issues we went through that we adopted last year. So that proposed CS will be drafted here by tomorrow, and we'll have it available for everybody to read. Then next week, I don't think we have a meeting on Monday. Did we schedule one Monday?
Nothing scheduled so far.
And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're going to have some joint hearings with Labor and Commerce on insurance. Mm-hmm. And Tuesday will be John George, an overview of where we are in insurance, basically, and opportunity to ask all the questions you want on different things. The Wednesday meeting will kind of focus on health care, and it was my intention to get into some individual health care, but the MICA situation with the hospitals is really getting really on a touch and go thing. I see MICA gave the hospitals another 30 days to bring in line, but the problem being that the rural hospitals, Wrangell, Petersburg, Homer, Cordova, Valdez, have been told to get they will not be allowed to get malpractice coverage if the doctors who practice in their hospital do not have malpractice coverage. and the doctors in the smaller towns have been going bare and really have no intention to get malpractice coverage, and for that reason the hospitals in those towns will be denied coverage. And that's obviously one of those big issues that's going to run around. So that'll be on Wednesday's agenda, and then Thursday will be an overview of aviation, transportation, and some of the other insurance issues, with the purpose of that to try to identify those areas of insurance that have no problems and that we don't have to worry about, and those that have substantial problems, and then to see is there a legislative solution or not. And if there is, we'll get to work on one, and if there isn't, well, it'll save us pain and agony for the next 2 years.
Well, the reason I was asking about the schedule is that the Senate Resources Committee is going to be having some people from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service here, and going to have a hearing on the coastal plain resolution. And I was hoping that I could attend that, but I wanted to attend this. Is there any way you could move this back and set it back an hour or so to start at 2:30 instead of 1:30 or something like that? Could you investigate that possibility?
Let me look at that possibility. It's not possible on Tuesday because I got a
Wednesday's the day.
Wednesday. Okay, let me check with Representative Donnelly, the chair of Labor and Commerce. They happen to meet at 1:30 at the same time we do, so it made it convenient to have a joint meeting. But I'll see if we can move that back.
I think other members will have conflicts. Representative Ulmer from the 3 o'clock.
Okay. You have a 3 o'clock state, please.
Monday, Wednesday.
Okay. Well, maybe we can split your services in both camps at once.
What are your hearings?
Pardon me?
When is the hearing?
1:30 Wednesday. That's just one of those typical schedule conflicts that I'll have to put up with. And I just wanted to bring it up in case there was something we could do about it.
Yeah, I'd like to go to that too.
I would also kind of want to, if you have real interest in the resource issue and the insurance issue.
Could we do the insurance issue of the noon hour?
And we might be able to move it forward.
Be fine with me, I'm flexible there.
On Wednesday, to see if we can move it forward to an hour. We could start at 12:30 instead of 1:30.
If that works out, could our offices all be notified?
Yeah, we have some teleconference lined up too, so we're going to have to check the teleconference network. Work it out. And then I don't know what other schedule we have for next week. The rest of them.
Have you identified any major projects the committee's going to tackle this year?
As committee projects, no, I haven't. It's been more, other than this insurance thing, I could just see it coming and being a big one that we're going to get involved in. The criminal justice system, I think, will begin to overwhelm us after listening to all of the different agencies and looking at all the different legislation that's in the hopper.
Mr. Chairman, on that point, there used to be a criminal justice planning agency from the state of Alaska that, as I recall, attempted to bring the various entities together to do the kind of thing that you were asking them to do, compare budgets, compare programs, and realize impacts. I guess that went away when federal funding for it went away, but is there an entity comparable to that?
Well, it was set up under LAAA funding, I think. Wasn't it LEAA? LAAA? Federal funding, and when that dissolved, they continued it kind of in an informal basis, and the Attorney General used to call a meeting, and last year, or 2 years ago, they got somewhat active and had 3 or 4 meetings. And they actually came to the legislature and made some joint presentations to House and Senate Judiciary as a total body.
Well, one was on that computerized information network that they had.
Yeah.
They all had a very vital interest in it, and they got together and talked about it.
But I think we have to sit down with the Attorney General, I think, as the lead person to see if they can call those people together. But I think what we've seen right here is their budget proposals from a budget point of view are very disjointed. You know, there's no coordination of Sitka was the example. You can have a Superior Court judge sitting in Sitka with no DA and no public defender. Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. But
you're the judge?
Move the judge to Kenai, right?
Right. Second.
So, anyway, if there's anything further here, we'll adjourn the meeting.